Hi there, it's Julia Louis-Dreyfus. You may know me from my podcast called Wiser Than Me, where I talk to older women and get their wisdom from the front lines of life. I was amazed by how many people told me our show made them look forward to getting older, which is why I'm here to talk about season two of the show. Sally Field, Billie Jean King, Beverly Johnson, Ina Garten, Bonnie Raitt, just to name a few. All hail old women. Wiser Than Me season two is out now from Lemonada Media.
What's up, nerds? This is Just a Couple Arslings, a Last Kingdom podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jessica Toomer.
And I'm Alyssa Fixie. We are writers for Sci-Fi Wire's Fangirls who started recapping The Last Kingdom in season three. So we decided to bring that nerdy, horny energy to Podcastlandia. Jessica, what a week!
My gosh. All right. So we try not to complain too much on this podcast just because everyone's going through it right now. But we had a tropical storm just sitting over us this week.
All week. Just all rain. Week. Rain, thunderstorms,
terrible.
My dog's freaking out, flooding.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God, my
like,
cats. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just been bad.
It's been a lot. Like, you know, there's already a pandemic going on, and now it's just like 24/7 thunderstorms. It's a lot to deal with. But today, there is sunshine. There's a ripping new Lady Gaga single. I'm feeling
hell
more
yeah.
optimistic than I have in a while.
And we have The Last Kingdom, which we thought we would never get to record this episode. It's the penultimate episode of the season.
We had to reschedule a couple times because, you know, you don't want to hear thunderstorms in the background. You just don't.
You don't. And you know what? If you don't live in an area that gets hurricanes and things like that, it does fuck with your Wi-Fi quite a bit. So,
oh my God, yes.
I've joked about how, you know, I'm gardening, I'm cross stitching, I'm turning into like Laura Ingalls. But this week, that joke really like bit me in the ass because there's not a lot to do if you can't binge Netflix when
That's
you're in
true.
A pandemic. So
I will say though, my little garden patch has loved the rain. My tomato plants and pepper plants are thriving and some of my seeds are starting to come up. It's very exciting.
So proud of you. We have little cukes.
Yes.
We have like the smallest little cucumbers. They look like little pickles. It's adorable.
That's very cute.
Yeah. So it's the little things.
Right.
Enough complaining. Let's get to the episode.
Yeah, not a lot of good little things happening in this episode. Everybody's going through it.
It's a lot.
It is. So we open the episode on possibly one of the only positive moments is Athelflaed's coronation. We don't get like a big, intense scene, but we kind of get, you know, like we see her going through the streets looking like the May Queen from Midsommar. Like, strong vibes.
I don't trust flower crowns right now.
I know. Why would you?
Don't.
Why would you? But, you know, she seems happy. She and Edward kind of reconcile and they're like, all right, we're going to work together to, you know, make Dad's dream come true. But yeah, that little bit of positivity at the beginning is pretty much all there is.
Right. Hold on tight to it.
Right.
Because, you know, we're at the table eating, but soon we're going to be watching a dude in a bear carcass be lit on fire.
But that scene's the best, though.
God, that is the best. I'm sorry. I know that some people have a problem with it, I guess, because it's like, yeah, he's a D-bag, but did he deserve to die? But I think
yes.
he did.
Yes.
If you make Florence Pugh cry like that, you
right.
deserve to die.
Get out of here. Yeah. Christian deserved what he got. Anyway.
All right, guys. This is
refocus.
The Last Kingdom. But yeah, so Edward and Athelflaed have mended fences, and she's taken the initiative to kind of go firm up their borders now that they're a united front. He's decided he's going to head back to Wessex because he's been gone for too long. It's a little too late, though, because everyone knows he's left the castle undefended, and the Danes are going to take advantage of that fact. And so the next kind of, you know, shot we see is of the Danes sacking Winchester, which here's my issue. When the season first started, you know, Edward was really reluctant to go help Athelflaed at Tettenhall and to leave Wessex in general. And I remember this conversation that he had with Ethelhelm about shoring up their defenses, and it was going to be so hard for the, you know, the Danish army to attack because they're really working on that. You know, they've learned their lesson. And that was a big reason why he was like, well, we need to make sure we defend our own first. Mm-hmm. And so why he didn't go and help. And so I'm just like, they really took Winchester quite easily. I mean, it didn't seem hard for them.
No, they pretty much just walked in. They killed a few guards and that was it. Yeah. So, you know, it's one of those things where you're like, all right, I get it. He needed to take a lot of people to go to Mercia. But like, how small is the king's guard that they, you know, I just, you know, for being the jewel of Wessex, they really let it be stolen quite easily. So
yeah, it's a bit of a disappointment. You would think that this place would be a little bit more defended than it is.
Yeah.
Of course, they do have Erdwulf's help. And so maybe he, you know, maybe he knew some bros.
I have a hard time believing that Erdwulf has that much power that, like, he was like, yeah, we're just going to take it.
Alyssa.
You're right. He knows a guy who knows a guy, and that's how they're going to get in. Oh, boy. Yeah. But, yeah, it's violent. It's a lot. You know, Sigtryggr takes Æthelhelm and Edward's wife and child and kind of throws them into imprisonment, which, honestly, Æthelhelm just, like, I mean, I get it. He's pissed at Edward right now, but he really did not provide any benefit to the situation. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you would think as like Edward's second in command at this point, he would have, I don't know. Like, I know he wasn't in the position to put up much of a fight, but like, he did not put up a fight at all. So,
right.
You know, whatever.
Well, I think it shows, you know, like that's the difference between having men who want power and opportunity for themselves and having people who are really, you know, have bought into this idea that you're doing something that's going to unite the kingdom and that's what's most important. It's just a different kind of set of priorities. And
yeah, I think that's a really good distinction.
It shows how ridiculous it was for Edward to trust Æthelhelm and not see the ambition in that man because when times are tough, he's not going to stick it out for you. And so I think we see that this episode. But yeah, he's like, Sigtryggr's like, you know, do you want to fight or do you want to surrender? And he's like, yep, I'm fine. Like, take him, kill the guard. I don't care, you know.
Yeah.
And it's pretty brutal. I know that the Danes are always really, they don't care about how many people they kill, but yeah, it was
tough to see all those guards. A lot of stabbing in this episode.
A lot of bludgeoning, which felt new. So yeah, it was a lot.
They're adapting their fighting style to a new era. But yeah, so like when all that shit's going down, we sort of catch up with Uhtred on the road, and he and the Cookham crew are helping Aelswith and Æthelstan travel to Bedwyn, where they're gonna hang out now, I guess. Like, she's gonna raise him, and you know, he'll probably be a much better option for king than his little brother being raised by his little brother's horrible mother. So, you know, I think it's a better option for everybody for them to sort of grow up apart from the castle with.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, they'll make him super pious, but I also think she'll do a better job than Æthelhelm at raising a child.
Well,
so.
I mean, at least we know he's going to read books.
Right.
That's the one plus, you know. I don't know if Edward's, like, current legitimate heir is going to know how to read if Æthelhelm has anything to do with it. He's just going to worry about battle strategy all the time. So,
right.
Yeah, so they're heading to Bedwyn, and, you know, Uhtred has been kind of ordered to protect them on their journey, which makes a lot of sense because, of course, who do they run into on the road?
Before they run into Heston, I want to talk about that conversation that Uhtred and Aelswith had where she's kind of trying to, like, make nice in her own Aelswith way. And she's like, I see your value now and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, she finally realizes, you know, that Uhtred really did care about Alfred and Alfred's work and Alfred's ambition. And, you know, she kind of wants him to stick around and, you know, continue to help her. And he's like, listen, like, I've done my part. I'm kind of done with all this. And mm-hmm. I liked when she was like, well, you know, I finally see your value and I finally see, you know, what Alfred saw in you all this time. And then everybody else is like, literally everyone has known this for a long time and you're the only one who didn't.
Yeah, love Father Pierlik this whole season because he is not afraid to give it to Ailswith when she is deserving because, yeah, she tries to make it seem like, you know, everyone thought he was a heathen and didn't like him and I'm the first to come around. And
it's right, like, literally everybody but you was on board. So I've loved seeing Ailswith develop over this season and sort of come into her own now that she doesn't have Alfred. But at the same time, you still get glimpses of the old Ailswith and you're like, oh, Ailswith. You're the only one that was a bitch to Uhtred. Like, you know, like everybody else realized he was pretty great a long time ago. So,
yeah. Well, you know, it's nice that the show is finally letting her grow a little bit and evolve. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the character growth is for her to say these things and to make these kinds of statements and then to hear people be like, nah, that's not right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
The only way she's going to kind of overcome any of her prejudices is if people start standing up to her. And I don't think people were willing to do that when she was still Alfred's wife, when he was around, when she was queen. I think if anything, you know, losing that power is going to make Ailswith a better person because she's going to be open to some opinions that might not have been, you know, thrown her way when she had all that power. And hopefully she'll, you know, have some self-improvement along the way.
I think she has. I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say that she has.
We are really cheerleading for her this season.
We have come around to Ailswith this season.
It's crazy.
I know. So Uhtred and Siora are kind of talking about, all right, we're heading to Cookham now. She's not thrilled because it's so small and like she's seen some of the world now and she wants to keep doing that. But, mm-hmm. you know, she wants to be with her dad and she wants to, you know, learn at his side or whatever. But like Cookham is so small. She wants to go to Winchester and she kind of gets the opportunity to in a horrible roundabout way because like you were saying, they are ambushed and who is it but Heston yet again.
God,
just
Heston.
That guy. He just always pops up when you're just like, ugh, get out of here. But also he's probably my favorite villain. And so I'm always happy to see him because he's such an agent of chaos. But then you're just like, ugh, of course. Of course Heston is going to meet them on the road and ruin all their mm-hmm. plans.
He really is. There have been, you know, obviously when you look at someone like Ethelred, it's just so easy to hate him because he's such a terrible person. Heston is not a good person. He's a bad guy. But there's just something so fun about the way he comes in and stirs shit up. No, I think I hated him more, obviously, when he was really out for Ethelfled and mm-hmm. had that weird obsession with her. But now that he's kind of just like, I'm old, I want to, you know, grow old and fat and have all these riches and not deal with it. To see him kind of just like make grabs for power is I don't know. Yeah, I like to have a villain that I can kind of laugh at sometimes, and I feel like Heston is that for me. So
yeah, at this point, he's more chaotic than malevolent, and I can get right. behind that, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. that's the world we live in right now. It's just embrace the chaos. So he runs into them on the road. Obviously, he's going to be a dick. And he knows what's happening in Winchester, which is that Sigtryggr has, you know, sacked the place and has taken over. And he wants to get in good with this new Viking warlord. And so what better way to do that than to bring him an offering? Mm. You know, the king's mother and I guess a couple kids seems like the way to go. He doesn't right. know who these children are, but he's just like, yeah, that one and that one.
Right. Like, they're okay. going to go. It'll be great.
Yeah.
But we need to talk about how he decides that he's going to try and kill Uhtred, because it really felt like he wasn't even trying that hard.
No.
You know? Like,
he decides Uhtred to die.
Right. He decides that the best way to kill Uhtred and his crew, even though he has a huge, like, a big band with him, like, they're way outnumbered, mm-hmm. but he still decides, you know what, the best way we're going to do this is we're just going to hang them upside down and the blood will rush to their heads and they'll die that way. and right. I'm going to leave two guys to watch over them to make sure they die. And I'm just like, man, yeah. have you never seen a movie? If you don't see the body, don't assume anybody is dead. You know what I mean? Like, that's a mistake.
Here's the conspiracy theory. I don't think he wanted them to die.
I could see that.
I feel he likes having, you know, when he likes having a frenemy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like you kind of like that person, you kind of don't, but they push you and they challenge you. I feel Uhtred like that's what Heston is for Heston.
Uhtred and Heston are truly the Blair and Serena of
That is exactly who they are. And it's weird, too, when he's like, okay, we're going to, you know, this is how we're going to kill you. And he's like, I've heard it's the best way to go. It's just like going to sleep. And it's like, oh, that's kind of like sweet.
That he cared.
All the ways you could kill him, you just want him to like feel like he's going to sleep. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. Give Heston a fight.
It was a half-hearted attempt. You know, it's fine. But the good thing is Edith, who's been traveling with the cooking crew, was away gathering wood so that Aelswyth would quit complaining about being cold.
Bitch ass is cold. Edith's got to go get the wood to warm her. It's ridiculous.
But yeah, Edith, like, I feel like with every new episode, I love Edith more because she was smart enough to, like, hang back and hide and draw out the guards. And it's just, she's so good. And
is so vicious, too. The way she lures that one guard.
That was not her first time stabbing a man. I really don't believe that.
Edith
has killed before, and she will kill again.
Like, oh, my God. There's some backstory there with Edith, and we should dig into it one day.
I mean, she's been treated pretty awfully by most of the men in her life, so I can understand if she just needed to get out that rage. But, like, she knew how to use that knife, and she went right for the carotid, so...
Yeah.
So she gets him down, which is good because Cedric was starting to have a panic attack. Poor buddy. I loved like the baby monk trying to talk him down. And it was just I love the little details that they put in just to show like the bonds that this group has in such small and like human ways. It's the best. But yeah, Edith saves everybody. It's really great. All praise to Edith. She rules.
I love too that. You know, each one that she saves, they're all like, oh, my God, thank you so much. Like, Baby Monk is like, you're an angel. It's like, everyone is just, like, so appreciative. And it's like, yes, like, Edith is finally being recognized and valued. And, you know, so she's able to save them. And they know what's happening in Winchester now. So they send poor Father Pierlex got to trek back
again
across England. He almost died, but
has that man gotten in this season? Like
his Fitbit is broken by now because it's just too many.
Yeah.
And Uhtred is like gung ho to get to Winchester because of course, you know, they've taken Steora and he's really worried about that. Yeah. So they go for a little jog and it's like, again, the fitness level that you had to have.
I would die. I would never make it. I would never make it.
It had to be miles that they ran. I mean, imagine.
Like dozens of
almost
miles.
Dying.
Yeah. Absolutely not. Mm. Yeah. And it's like immediately, all right, our blood is back in the proper places in our bodies. Let's run.
They haven't even carved up. There's no gel packets that they're sipping on midway through this marathon.
I don't even know if they got a drink of water. It's like, all right,
we can
use our legs again. So we're going to go, which
the
is
body
good.
Was
they
really
like,
a strong thing back then. I think we've really devolved.
If you've progressed. I feel like if you survived that long, your body was like, you know, ready to go. But I think in general, I don't know about that. But these people all have a pretty long life expectancy at this point. So, But it's a good thing they hit the road soon because it is bad in Winchester. And we got to talk about Breeda.
Mm, do we?
I know.
What's going on with Breeda?
I think Breeda has really reached her breaking point. Like, she's lost so much. Is she even pregnant anymore? Like, it hasn't been addressed in a long time.
From what I see of her, like, some of the shots we get, it does look like she's pregnant.
Okay, I couldn't quite tell. And so, but she is just, like, she is bringing down hell on the Saxons. Like, she is taking every single hurt that she has gotten in the past how many years she's been raiding in England, and she is bringing it all down on the Saxons right now. Like, she's digging up dead bodies. She's killing women and kids. Like, she is gleefully killing women and children.
Yes.
And it's just, I feel like Brita has just, like, she's lost the plot completely at this point. And I understand, but it really bums me out.
Yeah, I hate to see her go this way. It's obvious that she's carrying a lot of hurt, and instead of working through it, she's kind of taking it out on people that don't deserve it. I think, honestly, the digging up the bodies felt like something. It's like, okay, we've turned a corner. It's not just about taking Wessex and taking Winchester and getting the gold and, like, doing the Viking thing. Like, this is very personal, and this is, you know,
it's about inflicting pain now, you know?
Yes. And she's talking about, we need to take what's most important to them, which is their religion. We should destroy their churches and their monasteries and kill all their monks. And she wants to eradicate the Saxon way of life. And that's like, we're like broaching, you know, like, genocidal thoughts at this point. And thankfully Sigtryggr is, you know, a bit more moderate, and he's like, no,
like, how we're gonna do things.
We're not gonna stick to this old way of just, like, burning shit down. Like, let's take over and maybe build something better. And so they're kind of at odds this whole episode, and it's just, it's not good. It's not good when I'm rooting for, like, a newcomer over Brita, because we have loved Brita for so many seasons.
We stand Brita for three seasons, but this season, man, it's
even
just,
when we didn't like Uhtred. Remember when we didn't like Uhtred and we were all like, this should be Brita's show? And it's like, God.
That seems like 100 years ago.
Well, if it was Brita's show, who knows? Maybe we'd be rooting for her to dig up those dead bodies. I don't know. She could probably sway us, but it doesn't look good right now.
Yeah, it's bad. And also bad is when, you know, when Aelswyth and Athelstan and Steora get there, and Eardwulf recognizes Steora, and he's like, hey, that's Uhtred's kid. That's not great. And so she's sort of taken away from the other prisoners. And it's really dark, like, going into the scene, because as they're, like, rolling into the city, Aelswyth is like, listen, we're probably going to die now. Like, this is not good. This is not, we're not going to make it out of this one. So she's like, say your prayers, make your peace with the Christian God. And Steora's like, actually, I'm not a Christian.
I'm not a Christian.
But yeah, so it's Steora. Like, I do too, man. She's, we've met a lot of really great new characters this season, but Steora, I'm obsessed with her. But yeah, so she's, like, in captivity, and she is her father's daughter, and she's not going to go down with some, you know, Danish jag ending her life. So she's ready to kill herself. But Sigtryggr comes and finds her and stops her from killing herself, which is great. And I really like this conversation that they had, you know, where he's sort of trying to figure out, like, is she Saxon or is she Dane? And, you know, who does she really align herself with? And she's like, listen, you don't understand. I'm both, you know, like, I'm never going to be just one or the other. There are good parts of both in me, and I'm going to be like my dad. And he's like, oh, tell me about your dad. And she's like, my dad rules. Shut up. And it's a really good scene. I liked it a lot.
My dad is the best. You wish you had a dad like him. Yeah, no, right. I really appreciated, one, that they didn't take this the path of, like, he's going to abuse her or rape her or whatever. I think that would have been an easy way to go. And two, that they use this kind of, you know, obviously there's a chemistry there. And they use that tension to really investigate what life is like for Steora. And I'm assuming, like, a ton of people, because if you think about it, the Vikings have been invading for how long now? Of course, some of them are going to have children that are from Saxon women or Saxon men. And there's going to be that blending of cultures. And it's such a weird thing to, like, see this show, which is about, you know, ninth century life, and to feel a lot of, you know, there's things that are so relevant to today. I mean, who isn't a part of like two cultures today? You know what I mean? It's like,
it
would be weird to be forced to choose between the two. And I like that Steora is just like, yeah, I'm not playing. That's an old man's game. I'm not playing that. Like, I'm both. And there's good and bad about both. And you have to kind of accept that and move on with it. And I think Sigtryggr is really kind of fascinated by the way she views the world. And I really like this kind of budding relationship that they have. I think they both challenge each other and they both feel like the new kids, you know, the young ones, the young generation that's going to make some change. And
yeah,
God knows we need all of that right now.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So after they run however many miles, Uhtred and the Cookham crew, they arrive in Winchester. But like, not only have the Danes taken the city, but they have like built up the walls and like added these horrifying like spikes. And they're just like, they're in it to win it. And Uhtred is like, great, we cannot get in there because there's five of us and, you know, there's no way in. So Edith, which, okay, I totally respect that Edith is like, I'll go in, I'll go undercover. Nobody knows me here. But also, has Edith ever been to Winchester before? Like, how would she know where to go?
I
I'm not going to like nitpick too much because like, I totally respected her decision to be like, I'm going to do this. Let me help. But like,
sure.
Does she know Winchester at all?
I mean, my assumption was no, because she says that no one's going to recognize her here. So if she had been there before, there would be like the fear of maybe, you know, being recognized. I mean, she's got that red hair that stands out. But I think, you know, maybe it's a thing of like Winchester is so like we have said, it is the crown jewel. It's very famous. It's the heart of Wessex, that maybe people are just familiar with the layout. Like maybe you haven't been to New York, but you kind of know what Times Square looks like, you know? And also I just assumed like Edith is such a badass. She's like, yeah,
she'll
I'll go blind.
Out. She's
cares?
Smart. she can wander a
She's
little bit.
It.
She'll get where she
Here's
needs to
my
go.
Thing. I didn't understand what the plan was though. So I get that she's
going
to sneak in and warn them that they're there so that it's like they won't lose hope. And it's like, yes, they're going to come get you.
I think that's it. Like, that's all. Like, that was it, was just to let the prisoners know, hey, we haven't abandoned you. Uhtred's figuring it out.
God, she's such a ride or die, because that seems like not enough for me to risk.
Right. Right. But you know what? Edith is a killer. So she's, you know, she's not afraid. But yeah, it's a lot. And then, you know, you've got Father Peerlake, he makes it to Edward, and Edward, you know, doesn't handle the news very well. You know, Edward, he has none of the good qualities of his father at this point. Mm-mm. Like, you know, I mean, obviously you and I, we had our issues with Alfred, but ultimately I think we at least respected him. You know what I mean? Saw his value. But Edward is just like, he can't handle the pressure. And so he just like rides off half cocked, like ready to go. But he doesn't have a plan. And having a plan is important because, you know, that kind of happens with old Eardwolf, where he's upset with Breeda for digging up the dead. But he doesn't have a plan. And she rightfully points out, you know, you don't get to choose which Saxons you betrayed. You betrayed all of them. And yeah, it's not looking good for old Eardwolf.
I'm not upset about it.
No.
Yeah, he goes and gets drunk, and for some reason,
Edith
I guess
sees him across the courtyard, which is kind of sad for Edith.
Oh,
like, she deserves
God,
such
terrible.
A better brother, but like, I'm sorry for her to have to go through this pain.
Oh yeah, and. He's losing it, I think. I guess, you know, digging up dead bodies is like the last straw for him.
I think
him.
That was the breaking point for him, yeah.
Yeah, he goes drinking, and then he comes to try and kill Steora, I guess, to get revenge on Uhtred, because I'm assuming he thinks Uhtred is the root of all of his problems.
Everybody, if they don't know who to blame when it's really themselves, they're going to blame Uhtred.
It's
That's
Uhtred.
Just the
yeah.
way people handle things on this show.
I get it. But yeah, that scene was so tense and I was really worried for Steora. Just because I think, you know, he's such a loose cannon at this point. He could do anything. Mm-hmm. But luckily, Sigtryggr comes in at the perfect moment. And, you know, Steora's been kind of handing, you know, Erdwulf his ass and been like, it's your fault. You made these choices. And then Sigtryggr comes in and stands up to him. And it is, okay, it's hot. Like, there's no other way to say it. It is really sexy to see him.
Sigtryggr's got a real sexy energy. I'm not going to deny
that. Come on, man. It's almost too much right now.
I don't know if it's the hair or what, but, like, you know.
It's the composure. It's the...
That's true. It's the vibe.
Like, yeah. Yes. Like, he is very powerful, but he never, like... outwardly shows that. You know what I mean? He doesn't make a show of it. He doesn't peacock around like someone like Edward does. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, okay, like I could get behind this.
Quite strange. I like it. Yeah, it's good.
I like it. Yeah. He, you know, he calls Erdwulf a traitor and Erdwulf kind of backs down, obviously, because he is a coward. And I think this is the last straw for Sigtryggr, too, because he had this conversation earlier with Breida about, you know, why is this dude still around? Like, he's been useful, but we don't have any other use for him. And,
right.
You know, he's not to be trusted, clearly, because he used to be for the Saxons. And Breida's like, oh, no, like, we've turned him. I think Breida still sees, you know, maybe that's a pawn that they can use somehow down the road. And also he's been contributing to her plan of kind of just bringing hell to Winchester. And so she kind of goes to bat for him a little bit. And I think this whole interaction with Steora is just proof. It's like, we can't let people like this guy continue to profit and continue to like do well by being a traitor and looking out for themselves. And he makes a real example of Erdwulf. It's kind of, again, kind of hot.
Yeah, he, you know, he kind of drags him before the people and he goes on this speech where he talks about how, you know, all these other Danish lords. I loved the call outs to like Ubba and Bloodhair and Canute and,
yeah.
you know, all the dudes that we've seen come
to
and go.
To remind us.
Yeah. And he's like, listen.
There have been a lot.
There have been a lot. But I liked that he was like, you know, these men were driven by their anger and they were driven by their rage and we're not going to be like that anymore. And then I think that moment, I think that's going to be a real breaking point for Breida and Sigtryggr too, because you can tell that she's definitely driven by rage right now. And to be told that that's the old guard and we don't have place for that now, I think... is not going to go over well with her. You can kind of see that on her face in that moment.
It's direct shade that's thrown
yes,
at Breida.
1,000%. But yeah, Erdwulf, you know, he's about to die. And he does have one decent moment. Not like fully decent, but...
I wouldn't... Yeah, it's not redeeming, but it's
not
like,
redeeming,
okay.
But you're like, all right. Edith, you know, she sort of sees all this go down and she kind of cries out and he's like, don't pay attention to her. It's fine. She's no one. Which like
she's a is whore is what
right.
he, again.
You're right. You're like
calling his sister a whore and you're like, come on.
But like it did save her life and sort of get her out of there. But like, yikes. But yeah, he gets the shit stabbed out of him. Quite mm-hmm. a brutal way to go.
It's bad because it's a stab. It's a stab through the shoulder. Stab.
No, that was not a quick death at all.
No,
you're gonna bleed out. Yep, you're gonna bleed out, and you're gonna feel every single bit of pain until you finally die.
We're gonna show people, you know, how we're gonna show the masses how people like you will die if they continue like down the path that you've gone down, and it's like. It was pretty brutal.
It was very
poor
brutal.
Erdwulf did not have Heston there to suggest hanging by his feet.
Nor did he deserve that kindness.
He didn't. We don't feel bad for him.
No. So there's just like a lot going on in Winchester right now because like there's also that moment where we kind of check in with like Aelswyth and Athelstan, and Athelhelm kind of like weasels his way over to go and talk to Athelstan because he definitely has, you know, a pretty good idea of who it is. And it's like, it's bad. Athelstan is like, no, I'm nobody. And he's like, you're Athelstan. Quit lying to me. And he basically tells Aelswyth, like, if we survive this, that kid's got to go. And I'm just, I really hope that somehow Athelhelm gets taken out in the next episode, because I am so sick of that dude. I'm just, I'm ready for him to go.
He is the worst. I mean, you're being held hostage by this Danish army that has invaded your kingdom. Your daughter and your grandson are here. They're in immediate danger. So are you. And your, like, biggest concern is to throw your weight around and intimidate this poor kid and threaten his life. It's just like, get out of here. Go die,
dude.
How
cowardly.
Like, I can't deal with it. Yeah, I cannot stand Athelhelm. And it just, every time I see him, it makes me, it makes me so angry at Edward for ever trusting someone like that. But speaking of, you know, Father Peerlich has gone to warn Edward, so he's on the way. And Uhtred and the Cookham crew are still kind of just right outside of Winchester. And he's being really careful and really conservative in his attack plan.
Which is not super Uhtred. Like, that feels a little out of character.
Not at all. But I'm not mad at it, because I feel like, you know, we've had so much going on that we saw him, like, you know, devastated over the death of Beoka. But then we've had so much going on that it's kind of like that's been put on the back burner. So I love to see that the show hasn't totally forgotten about that. And we see, you know, Beoka's death kind of manifesting in different ways. And, you know, this is all, you know, because of what happened in Bebbanburg. I mean, he doesn't want to lose anyone else because he's too gung-ho, and he can't, like, take a moment to kind of step back and think. And so I appreciate that. It's not like, you know, classic Uhtred, but he's also, like, growing, and he's getting older, and he's a dad now, and maybe it's time that he kind of has a bit of, I don't know, perspective. I think Alfred would be happy with it.
Probably. What Alfred would not be happy about is Edward rolling up with his knights and just, like, there is zero battle plan. It is just, we're going to attack this gate and we're going to get in, except that they can't. So they are just, like, throwing themselves against the wall, and he's losing men left and right. And Uhtred is kind of just watching from, you know, the edge of the battlefield, and is just like, he needs to stop. Like, this is bad. Everybody's going to die. And so, you know, after they lose a ton of guys, they kind of pull back, and Edward's like, hey, we're going to kill everybody. Let us in, blah, blah, blah. This is my kingdom. And Sigtryggr is kind of like, you know what? I can wait you out, because, you dumb bitch, you built these walls super tall
for
and
real?
Super strong. So, like, you're not going to get in here.
You've done all the work for me.
Yeah. And, you know, Uhtred kind of finds Edward, and he's like, listen, like, we need to have a plan. We cannot just keep throwing ourselves at the gate, or we're never going to get in this way. And Edward is, like, so enraged that he doesn't listen, and he just leaves the charge again. And that's kind of where the episode ends. And you're just like,
such
no battle plan at all. And this just, it's going to be a bloodbath.
It is. And you know what? You would think Edward, because he has built those walls, he's spent all season bragging about it, that he would be like, you know what? I know how well that, you know, we've built these to defend the city. Let's think of a different way. But he's just kind of so blinded, I think, by fear, most of all. I think fear for his family, obviously, but also fear of, like, losing this position of power that he's inherited. I mean, how terrible, how, like, what a failure, how embarrassing would it be if he were to lose Winchester to the Danes after everything his father has worked for, and after his sister was just crowned Lady of Mercia. I mean, it's just like there's a reputation that he's worried about with all of this too. And so, yeah, it makes him kind of not think before he acts. And I think that's going to mean that a lot of people are going to die. And I'm worried about that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just a little
right.
bit.
I, you know, I can imagine that's, you know, those actions are going to lead to some violent results.
These violent delights.
Oh,
violent
God.
Ends on the Last Kingdom. Get up in Westworld.
A Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time for our next episode wishes. This is when we issue our demands for upcoming episodes, like the spoiled toddlers that we are. Here's what we want to see, when we want to see it, and why we won't be denied. Alyssa, it's the last episode. I mean, yeah, what's going to happen?
It's the season finale. And honestly, like, what a mess. Like, Edward has just, he's proven himself to be such an unwise ruler this season. But this sort of enraged attempt at taking back Winchester might be the worst instance of his hubris yet. Like, man is not proving himself to be a good ruler. I think there's going to be massive casualties for sure. And honestly, at this point, like, there's no guarantee that he'll get the city back. You know, like, Sintrigger might be young and relatively untested, but he's, you know, he sort of learned from the mistakes of the Danish lords who came before him. And that makes him truly formidable. And, you know, I think if Uhtred is going to try and clean up Edward's mess, he's going to have his hands full with Sintrigger.
Oh, for sure. And honestly, I don't, you know, do we even want Edward to return to being king of Wessex at this point? Because he's been doing a pretty crap job of it. And I think after that moving speech from Sintrigger about working together and shucking off the old ways, I'd be down to see him rule England. Like, I'd, you know, with Uhtred's help, of course. Like, if those two bros wanted to, like, become friends and take over all of Wessex, I'd be for that.
I think they'll get along. Yeah, I think at this point, like, I think they get along.
I think so, too. I think we're going to be surprised by their interactions. Especially since, you know, I think they'll come to an understanding just because Sintrigger seems really taken with Stigor and they seem to have found kind of common ground. And so it's always good when you get in with the daughter first.
Yeah.
But Brita, though, that girl has gone off the deep end. And I'm afraid that there's no coming back for her at this point.
I think that's more than fair. Now, The Last Kingdom has a massive cast of interesting characters, and nearly everyone gets their time to shine. Our arsling of the episode is the character who truly goes above and beyond to win the war or simply win our hearts. So, who are you standing this episode, Jess?
Okay, so I know that you're going to talk up Stuart because it is what she deserves after this episode, after this whole season. So I'm going to praise the other half of our star-crossed lover duo, Sintrigger. Again, I feel like I've called him the arsling of the episode for a couple of episodes now, but I'm not
embarrassed about it at all.
No shame. He's been one of the more interesting additions this season, I think. He's always kind of defying expectations and challenging, at least like my view of what a Viking kind of warlord was back then. He's certainly different from all the others that have come before him. And I think the way he scared the shit out of Erdwulf for harassing Stiora was just like, that was when I was fully in. Like, I'm part of the fan club. I'll pay my dues. Like, I'll get the t-shirt. Let's go.
I get it. Yeah, you're right. I gotta go Stiora. I've loved the addition of her character this season. And this episode, like, it perfectly showed how she encapsulates the best parts of both of her parents. Like, she's in such a terrifying position as a captive, but she's so brave and defiant, and I'm obsessed. Like, the way she keeps her head and her wits about her with both Sintrigger and Erdwulf is incredible because, like, she's so young. She's what, like 15, 16?
Oh, my
Very
God.
Young.
She's such a baby. Yeah.
When I was 15 or 16, hell, if it was me now, I would not be able to, like, keep my head like she does. And
threaten me with a paper cut. And I'm like, yeah, whatever you want. Like, I'll do anything.
Yeah. So if we get another season, which we should, I really hope we do. I think
we're getting another season.
I mean, we gotta get at least one more.
Whatever.
But yeah, I think Stiora will definitely be one that I'm most interested in following into the next season.
Yeah, I think she'll I think we saw this season young Uhtred kind of challenge his father. And I hope that next season we get to see Steora challenge him in different ways. And maybe it'll be with her, you know, her new little romance with Sigtryggr.
Is it a romance?
I know that there's no definite.
I don't
romance.
Really like the. I mean, I'm like, reading definitely. The signs. Listen, they're definitely vibing. I get that for sure. Like, I wouldn't go as far to call them like star-crossed lovers yet, but there's definitely
Excuse
like.
Me. They are the Romeo and Juliet of the Last Kingdom.
Oh, no. I hope it ends better for them.
I've gone full in on this
right.
couple.
Please.
I'm writing the fan fiction.
I was literally about to say, please send me whatever fan fiction you write. I'm sure it'll be great. We'll see.
Whatever. All right. Have some faith in young
Listen,
love, Alyssa.
If it was a different
I've
show.
I've got to have something to hold on to.
That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah. Get ready to shame down the worst character of the episode with us. It doesn't matter if you're a Saxon or a Dane, anyone can be a turd, and we're calling out the biggest one of the episode. Again, lots of choices. I think, though, that there's a couple that really stand out.
We have a buffet of options at this point. Mm-hmm. A lot of Jags have made it pretty far into the season, but I'm going to go Edward. He's just really inherited none of his father's sense. And he's going to get people killed because of it. And I just, like, it really rubbed me the wrong way when Peerlaig, like, comes and tells him what's happened. And he's like, both of my heirs are taken. And it wasn't that he was, like, concerned about his children as people, but rather as pawns on his path to a legacy. And that was just, it was super gross to me. And it just really drove home that I will never be an Edward fan.
Nope. I think it's that ship has sailed and we are not on it.
Yeah. He had so much promise last season and he's blown it. He's blown it.
It's sad. It's sad. You hate to see it. I was going to rant about Erdwulf, but he got his. And so I just feel like it's not worth it. So instead, I'm going to give Brita a good talking to.
Is this Brita's first time in our sling of the episode or in
the turd
of the episode?
I have to believe it is because I would have never put her here before.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing she's done that has made me be like, I can't stand Brita right now.
I mean, she's been a mainstay in our sling of the episode since episode one. Mm-hmm. But like now it's been.
Yeah. Pigs are flying. I mean, the world is ending because she's now a turd. She's just so consumed, I think, with her need for revenge that she's, you know, willing to send Uhtred Steora's head when she learns that she's his daughter. And it's like, damn, like this girl is practically your niece. Like, relax. It just felt like more, even more than, you know, the digging up the bodies and the wanting to destroy the churches. The fact that she's like, oh, this is Uhtred's kid. Let's kill her. It's like, whoa, like you are really far gone. I've always, you know, I've recognized that Brita has a real contempt for Wessex and for the Saxon way of life because she's always felt stifled by it. And so mm-hmm. I identify with that. I think Uhtred, her relationship with Uhtred has kind of maybe tempered some of her worst impulses when it comes to dealing with that anger towards the Saxons. And I feel like now that that relationship is obviously broken, she's just going like full rage machine. And I'm worried that there's no coming back for her. I don't know if it's these pregnancy hormones that are doing a number on her. I don't like it one bit. So
yeah,
it really pains me to put her in this section, but I've got to.
She earned that spot this week. Now, no character is safe on The Last Kingdom, but some seem to be flirting with death more than others. Ninth century life was fleeting and barbaric, but that doesn't mean we can't have some fun with it. Get ready to place your bets on who's headed for Valhalla soon, because this is the Viking Death Pool. All right, who we got?
All right, so we've been pulling really good numbers in this Viking Death Pool recently. Ethelred and Erdwulf have both met our bitch Karma, and she's done her work. So I am expecting someone near and dear is in danger next episode, especially since it's the season finale. We have left off on a cliffhanger, and you know, all of our faves are within that army that's just kind of ramming against a wall purposelessly. I don't like that Stiora is within breach of Breeda at the moment, but I think, you know, Sigtryggr seems smitten with her, even though you don't believe that they're going to have a romance.
Listen, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying it's like, it could go either way right now.
Whatever, Alyssa. I don't think he's going to let anyone touch his girl.
I don't think so either. I don't think so either. He obviously cares about her. That's not what I'm saying. Anyway, continue.
I'm worried, you know, about Æthelstan and Aelswyth. One, they're being held hostage, and one of the best ways to throw, you know, Edward off is to probably start killing the people that he cares for most. The other reason she's, you know, holed up with Æthelhelm and his daughter, and they're just the worst. I just feel like I have to start preparing eulogies for them because I don't know. For some reason, my gut is telling me that they're not in a good place.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. But, like, I can put a little bit of your mind at ease. Like, Æthelstan will become king one
day. Oh, my God. So, crack open the history book. I love when you do, like, this to me.
You're welcome. But, yeah, Æthelstan does become king. So don't worry about that sweet little boy. He will be fine. Aelswyth, okay. You know. Whew. Concerning, I don't
She's
know quite what happened. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what happens to her, but I do know that Æthelstan does become king. But yeah, I would be, you know, deeply concerned about their well-being after Æthelhelm's upsetting interest in the boy. So, mm-hmm. You know, yikes. But honestly, like, going into this finale, I'm worried about Breeda. Like, she's obviously gone darker than ever. And I think she's reached a point where, you know, there's not going to be that moment of reconciliation between her and Uhtred that we've always had in the past. Like, if they come face to face on the battlefield this time, one of them's not walking away and it's not Breeda's show. So,
right.
I'm worried
that's
about
the
her.
Thing. It's not Breeda's show. And right. So when you place her as an enemy to Uhtred, and you've made a division that's kind of so deep and unbridgeable between them. It's like, where else do you have left to go except killing her? So
there really isn't.
Yeah, I agree.
I know. I'm really worried about Breeda going forward in this last episode.
I don't want her to go out like this, though.
I
don't
either.
Like, not liking her.
I know. It'll make it extra heartbreaking. Like, she didn't get
God
to go out
it.
A hero. She doesn't get to, you know. I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully.
Maybe she's not going to die. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm just already upset over it.
I'm just very worried about her, even if I'm mad at her right now.
Now, this is clearly a very serious podcast about a very serious show, but sometimes it's nice to indulge in a little thirst. It's 2020, the world is on fire, honestly, we deserve this. So this is our time to celebrate the thirstiest moments that really blew our skirts up this week. So,
okay.
Alyssa?
So here's the thing, I really shouldn't give you a hard time about, like, finding love between Stiora and Sigtryggr from very small mm-hmm. things, because I'm doing the exact same thing with Edith and Finnan. Like, we're being fed crumbs, but, like, mm-hmm. you know, they keep having these little tiny moments where I'm like, ooh, yes, I would like to see more of that. So, you know what, we're both deluding ourselves into these big love connections, but I say we should
right
keep doing it, because,
agreed.
You know, we need a good love story again, because Uhtred and Æthelflaed are done. So, you know, we gotta have somebody to
Honestly,
root for.
Honestly, Uhtred needs to be done with women for a little bit.
I think he does.
It never ends well for him.
Yeah.
And Finnan has not gotten the love interest that he deserves.
Yes.
I agree. My thirstiest moment is also the Finnan-Edith romance that does exist. And, I don't think we're reading between the lines on this, because there are many moments in this episode.
Sure.
Where,
like,
they
little,
have these looks or
their
flirting.
Little flirt when he's like, that means she likes
Come
you.
On.
And when he's like concerned about her when she's like in the castle. You're right. I'm
yeah.
not crazy. They're
That's
setting
not,
they're
not.
They're building the foundation there. They better be.
It's totally happening. But yeah, I think the moment when she saves them all, you know, from hanging to death, and he looks up at her, and it's just this, like, oh, she's like the savior. It's like, be still,
yes.
my beating heart. It was so swoon worthy.
Oh, I love it.
That I cannot believe that we're just interpreting this. Yeah, no. This is real. I won't be told I'm crazy about this.
You're right.
I know this is real.
You're right. You're 100% correct. Now, since we recorded our previous seasons, the world has changed a little bit. Life has ground to a halt, and we're just doing our best not to lose our minds in quarantine. So goodbye, Geek Out, and welcome to Self-Care Corner, where we talk about what we're reading, watching, and doing to stave off the seemingly endless alone time. So,
okay.
What you got?
I'm going to say mine, but first I want to say the thing that you've chosen for yours, it's really weird how on the same page we are sometimes, because yeah. I was literally going to put that.
Yes.
And then I was like, no, we've been recapping this show and I want to really talk about that because it's its final season and it's really important to us. So I'm so glad that you
okay,
took
great.
That baton.
I'm because, really excited to talk about
okay.
it. Okay, great.
Perfect. Okay. So before we do that, let's get to mine, which is the 100.
Yes.
It's back on the CW. It's its final season. 7 seasons. We've been with
the
it.
The show is very near and dear to our hearts.
It's very important to us. If you've never seen it, the basic premise is set in the future. We've destroyed Earth. People are living up in space on a space station called the Ark. They send 100 teen delinquents down to see if Earth is like inhabitable, and then you know all hell breaks loose. And so,
but honestly,
from there,
like we are so far away from that concept
so
now in the seventh
gone.
Season. Like it's yeah. just it's a
we're
wild
in a new
ride.
World. We're right. hundreds of years in the future, but with yeah. the same characters. They haven't aged.
God, it's
and
the best. It's the best.
We
show.
Are we're taking over a new planet. And yeah, it's just it's so good. Here's the thing. It's really good. There are some things that still bother us.
Sure.
The balark of it all. But I think the cast
that.
And the acting is so good.
It's really
and I,
good.
I want to shout out.
Like, I feel like people hear CW show and they're like, ugh. But, like,
you
it's
don't think,
so
I know.
Good.
I hate that that stereotype exists because there are good shows on CW.
I agree.
But The 100 is probably the best show that they've ever had.
It's up there for sure. It's so good.
The concept is insane, but the acting is just incredible. You know, everyone on the cast really brings it, and there's not another show like it, and so mm-hmm. I'm really sad to see it go, but we do have a whole season
yeah.
left to recap, and I'm excited about that. And
so yeah, go check yeah. out our recaps over at Sci-Fi Fangirls.
Go check out our recaps and go watch the 100. You won't regret it.
Yeah, 100% agree.
Let's talk about mine.
Mine this week is last night I binge watched the first 3 episodes of Taika Waititi's sort of organized this reading for charity, and he and a bunch of other celebrities are reading through James and the Giant Peach, which is such a lovely book.
And the first
3 episodes are up, and it's just like it's so joyful and charming, and I didn't know
quirky
that
and nerdy.
I needed
I love
the Hemsworth
it.
Brothers as the two evil aunts, but they were so good. And it's just like you've got Meryl Streep, you've got, you know, who else? Who's in the
Cate
third
Blanchett.
Episode? Cate Blanchett and it's
Sarah
just
Paulson.
Like, that's right. Ugh. Sarah Paulson and Kumail Nanjiani and Nick Kroll. Like, it's so good. And it's just like it's absolute sunshine. Like, I always love when people read to me or like reading out loud. And so like having mm-hmm. all of these different people doing the voices, and it's just it's so relaxing. And it's just this little oasis of quirky kindness that I just mm-hmm. like. It's the best thing. I think the first 3 episodes are up, and they do like 4 chapters in an episode or something like that. I think the longest one is like 20 minutes. Like it's very easy to just, you know, get the little bit. But I think, I mean, they're just getting started, so I'm sure there'll be
yeah.
quite a few of them. But it's just, it's on YouTube. It's wonderful. It's for a good cause. And
for a good cause.
It's Taika.
Please donate.
Like who doesn't, you
it's
know.
It's Taika.
Taika's the best.
And Taika.
I love the sound effects too. Like it's just it's so yeah, he's the best. But yeah.
He really is. He's a beautiful, beautiful soul. He's so funny, and he gets all these, you know, really big names to kind of go all in. I think honestly, that first episode with Chris and Liam Hemsworth.
That was my favorite one.
I've never seen Liam Hemsworth act his ass off like that. I mean, he was really giving it, and I was like, okay, you know, like everyone's just like ready
having
to have
a great time.
A good time, and
yeah,
it's a lot of great talent, and there's a mix of it, you know, because like Nick Kroll is obviously such a good voice actor.
He so does good.
Big mouth and so right. many other things. And so, yeah, it's just, it's really fun. And you would think it's like, oh, you know, a grown adult is not going to be interested in a reading of a children's book.
Nope, it's wonderful.
But you've thought wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely look it up. It'll make your whole day for sure. For sure. All right, guys, if you want to hear more of our bullshitting, check us out on Twitter or over at Sci-Fi Wire Fangirls. Also, don't forget to like, subscribe, and leave us a nice review wherever you get your podcasts.
And until next time, destiny is all bitches.